It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Downtown Charlotte looks not quite like a war zone, but certainly not like any downtown you'd want to visit. Tear gas canisters now outside the same strip where most of the restaurants and clubs are. This is one of the souvenir shops. People are waking up this morning to news that their companies in downtown may be closed today. A lot of companies telling their employees to stay home from work just because of how dangerous things were last night. And the police were badly outnumbered and it seemed ill-prepared. They really needed the cavalry, as four police officers were injured last night, and the cavalry is on its way in the form of the National Guard, now deployed. It'll be out on the streets in a little while. Last night, a number of officers said they really felt like they were restrained. About 8:30 or so, the protest truly took a violent turn to them. There was one shot fired that was heard. One person went down. That man is now in critical condition, fighting for his life. It wasn't until about 10:30 or 11 that they started finally making arrests. Now, obviously, there's a lot of different parts to this story in terms of what caused these riots, but take a listen to some of the rhetoric coming from the protesters.
Just know that all white people are devils.
And make sure you air that one.
Air that.
Don't take that.
All white cops are devils and white people.
Now, that was Keith Scott's brother. He was the man who was shot and killed by police. The social media narrative, if you will, is that he had a book in his hand. According to the police, and they have pictures to back this up, he had a gun in his hand. So that is the spark, and now we are dealing with this on the streets of a major American city in the downtown as the National Guard comes out. The real question going forward is, what happens to this in terms of the political fallout from this? Remember, North Carolina is a swing state. We're less than 50 days till the election.
Sandy Rios with you. That was Leland Vitter on Fox this morning. So that's what happened overnight. Another black man was shot by someone else in the crowd, not by policemen. And it's just descended into something ugly. Just no question about it. We are at war. Not tanks on the streets, but we are at war internally in ways that we can't even see. And certainly this battlefront in, and I don't mean whites against blacks. I'm not talking about that. That's what the left wants to make this about. This is not about that. This is really and truly about people that want law and order and respect for all people, and people who are lawless and want to create more lawlessness and take power because other people are panicking. This is all about taking power in the midst of chaos. And you know, it's a kind of a lives are expendable when you're in the business of taking power. Loretta Lynch, you know, came out to make her statements. If she's never one to shy away from, you know, speaking out about racial incidents, not so much about terrorism and all the other things that threaten all of us, but this is what she had to say.
These tragic incidents, particularly coming so close together, have once again left Americans with feelings of sorrow, with feelings of anger, and with feelings of uncertainty. And they've once again highlighted in the most vivid and painful terms the very real divisions that still persist in this nation between law enforcement and communities of color.
Well, yes. And of course, she's stoking the flames of division. The Justice Department has become nothing but a walking racial divide fanner of the flames. It's just amazing what they have done under her leadership. She's been worse than Eric Holder. This isn't, again, about black and white. This is about right and wrong, regardless of color. And we could go into the details of it, but I'm actually not going to this morning because there are so many other things happening. What's happening in North Carolina is very important, especially, you know, Pat McCrory, the governor, is up for re-election. He's under tremendous pressure because of the bathroom bill. Remember, Charlotte is the town that this all sprang from, the fact that the Charlotte mayor decided that all the bathrooms, you know, should be used by anybody that wants to use them, the changing facilities, and that's how that all started. And so that, you know, and North Carolina is a swing state, and so the left wants to, you know, pull it back for Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton went out yesterday and said what she said about police brutality. But in this case, it looks like, you know, it was a person who had a gun, who was a threat, and that there's no, the problem is that a law was passed in North Carolina that you can't release video, surveillance video, or I guess police cam video, until an inquiry begins. And so, but according to the police chief, who's black, there's just no question. He had a gun. It was not a book, and he would not listen. And so, but you know, rumors flying, people get passionate because of past sins of police versus blacks in the South. I understand that. But boy, I tell you, others are fanning those flames and enjoying the results of what are happening. So that's what's happening in Charlotte. But I just want to make my point that this isn't, the dangers that we face from the left are not about white oppression of blacks. This is about a movement that wants to suppress all of us and overtake us. And let me just give you an example. This is an article I just got this morning. This is, I think, yeah, it's in the Daily Caller. Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is a city of over just 6,000 residents and a poverty rate well above the national average, has resettled more Syrian refugees than Los Angeles and New York City combined. And could I just say that almost all of Stone Mountain, I think 75.2% of it, Stone Mountain, are black, 16.8% are white. Why do I mention that? Because these refugees are not being vetted. And this morning, I don't have time to play this, but an investigative reporter went into the Twin Cities in Minnesota, where one of the terror acts happened over the weekend, Saturday night, and went into the residents, the Somali residents, who are Sharia adherents, and asked them some very plain questions about how they felt about being killed for criticizing the prophet, how they felt about one of them bragged about how, yes, under Sharia law, your hand is cut off if you steal. They all are Sharia. All. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody in the Twin Cities in the Somali community that doesn't adhere to Sharia, but I doubt they would say that publicly. Sharia law is the system of law under Islam that is not compatible with the West. Not. It is the violent. It is actually intrinsic, essential to Islam. And so now those refugees are being placed in communities, black and white. You know, does anyone think that it's only going to be, you know, white people in these communities that are going to be in danger? Was it just white people in danger in New York on Saturday night with those multiple potential bombs? So I'm just telling you that we are all in this together in a fight against something much larger than even racial divides, something that wants to use the racial divide in order to confuse and divide us. I have to go to this next subject because the New York City bomber who was now still not talking, he was shot, he says he can't talk, and blah, 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 blah. We could go on and on with that. I'm trusting you're listening to this and gathering your information from other sources, and today I'm going to concentrate on telling you things you might not already know. But this was Catherine Herridge last night on Fox with Brett Baer, and I want you to hear what she has to say about how authorities handled the evidence they had against the would-be murderer in New York. Let's listen.
He was a real consumer of the jihadi propaganda. He's totally amped up on this radical message. And this is not something that he picked up recently, but it was on a low boil for some time. He's reading everything. He's reading Al-Qaeda. He's reading the cleric Al-Awlaki. And he's also reading ISIS. Let's go to this one page in particular. It has this specific reference to Adnani. Adnani, as you know, is a major spokesperson for ISIS. He was part of the senior leadership until he was killed in the summer in an airstrike. He writes to him asking, I need sort of reconfirmation or reassurance that killing the infidels is appropriate. Now, what's striking to me is that Adnani is a major ISIS figure, and there was nothing in the indictment about him. So it had the effect of whitewashing his sympathies with ISIS.
You can read it clearly on those
That's
pages.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
What's their reaction to this? How did they answer about the Adnani and the ISIS being left out?
Well, we put the question to the U.S. attorney and the Department of Justice, and a law enforcement source said, well, you know, the indictment's not the whole thing yet. There's more coming. But I have to tell you, that simply does not pass the smell test, because adding the ISIS reference would have strengthened the indictment. It would have shown his multiple terrorist connections. But by taking it out, it weakened the indictment. But maybe, if I could say, it accomplished a political objective, which was communicating, or at least hiding, that ISIS had been so involved in inspiring these plots across the country.
It's tough not to get to that conclusion. You look at the backgrounding of reporters by officials originally saying there was no tie.
There is totally a tie in the documents to ISIS. It's there in black and white, along with al-Qaeda, but for some reason they chose not to include it, and it had the effect of whitewashing this suspect's ISIS sympathies.
All right, and this is the most important thing I have to tell you this morning, and it's going to be a challenge for me to make it clear. We are discovering that the FBI and investigative sources and the Justice Department are knowing about these perpetrators of Islamic violence in our country. They know about them, but they're doing nothing. They hide details. They won't report their names. There's something going on here. Bill Gertz has a really interesting article this morning that we're going to put on our Facebook page. It's FBI training questioned in recent terror attacks. And we already know, I've told you that the training manuals have been purged. I've told you that over and over again. But it came to a head on the House floor just in the last 24, 48 hours. You may recall that we've told you a lot about countering violent extremism. That's the name of a program pushed by Republicans, to form a new agency out of Homeland Security, funded with multiple millions of dollars. And one of the things it talks about is working with community partners. And those community partners are partners like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the propaganda arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And one of the chief perpetrators of this bill has been the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, Mike McCaul, Congressman Mike McCaul from Texas. So we thought we had defeated this. I think we thought we had defeated this because we don't want millions of dollars going to the Council on American Islamic Relations, since they are an indicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land trial. We know that they are up to no good, because they've told us their job is to destroy our miserable house from within. But Michael McCaul likes them. I have a photo of him praising them at their programs. And so Mike McCaul did, a couple of nights ago, night before last actually, introduced a new piece of legislation, but he used a different name. He didn't use that nasty CVE term. He used something else. Let's see if I can find it for you. It's, let's see. It is, I don't see the name, but I'll find it for you. I've got lots of sheets here, and I'm going to talk about it some more. But it doesn't use that term. And so Congressman Louie Gohmert stood on the House floor and exposed this dangerous piece of legislation in front of the entire Congress. He spoke for 14 minutes, and it's my goal in the last segment of this show today to play every minute that Congressman Gohmert spoke. Congressman McCaul is putting the nation at tremendous danger. And could I tell you that yesterday, after that eloquence by Congressman Gohmert, to try to stop this and others too, it passed. It passed resoundingly. So now a new program, which will send millions of dollars to community partners like the Council on American Islamic Relations. They got it through. McCaul snuck it through. Those of you in Texas who continue to send him to Congress, could you please explain why to me? I don't get that part. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who voted against the CVE last night, one of the champions in the House of Representatives, Congressman Dave Brett. Stay with me. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrined religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognized that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the founding fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at afr.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Police in Charlotte, North Carolina say only one person was arrested after Tuesday night's riots. One person! Hundreds rampaged through the streets, looting stores, setting fires, shutting down Interstate 85. All because of a protest over the shooting death of a black man. Police say the man had a gun. The man's family says he had a book. The incident remains under investigation. Hillary Clinton is making what happened in Charlotte a campaign issue, sending her thoughts and prayers. Well, what about the business owners who got looted? What about them? What about the truck drivers who were attacked on Interstate 85? Or the families who were terrorized in their cars? Or the untold number of police and civilians who were left bloodied and battered by the attackers? Something tells me they don't matter. It's time for America to make a decision, folks. We either have the rule of law or we don't. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The House GOP leadership reluctantly agreed to today's impeachment hearing of IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, knowing that it stands almost no chance of being reported out of committee, of passing in the full House, and even less chance of moving to the Senate for trial. But it put Koskinen on record, and today he admitted the IRS targeted political groups and mostly groups that leaned right.
They were totally improper. Criteria were used to select organizations applying for C4 designation for further review. Those organizations predominantly were conservative organizations.
But was the targeting an act of malice or incompetence? One skeptic noted that Lois Lerner, the IRS's head of exempt organizations during the targeting, openly expressed a political bias in numerous work emails.
I don't know if you've read Lois Lerner's emails or not, but there is a palpable animus, a hostility towards conservatives that comes through in her work emails.
Another skeptic honed in on Koskinen's tenure after congressional committees had placed a do not destroy order on backup tapes that housed Lerner's missing emails.
1 month after your top counselor learns Ms. Lerner's hard drive has crashed and there are missing emails, the backup tapes, the secondary source, the primary source is gone. A month later, the backup tapes are destroyed. And we're supposed to believe that's just a coincidence?
Democrats took no part in the Koskinen interrogation. One used the opportunity to take a dig at Donald Trump's son and his recent controversial Skittles tweet.
A lot of people on this side of the aisle, we like that. And every now and then, I'll get a bad Skittle, but I don't ban them all.
Regardless of what the Judiciary Committee decides next, one Tea Party conservative, Tim Huelskamp of Kansas, is still threatening to unilaterally introduce an impeachment resolution in the full House.
It would be an unfortunate precedent to set going forward.
Whatever Koskinen's fate, the targeting of conservatives had a profound effect. One American Enterprise Institute study found it slowed GOP voter outreach enough to cut Mitt Romney's tally in the 2012 election by up to 8.5 million votes, sufficient to keep Barack Obama in the White House for a second term.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was Doug McElway on Fox News last night talking about the House, at least some of them, really trying to hold Koskinen's feet to the fire, but not getting much support from leadership, I have to say. But the point of that report to me is that, remember, the IRS was sicked upon conservative groups. Now, again, this is not racial. This is any of you who dare to be a conservative, especially Christian, who love your country, regardless of your color. And this morning, Ken Kuklowski has a really important piece and in which he talks about how he believes that the Second Amendment, a case on the Second Amendment, now is going to be headed for the Supreme Court. He talks about how the next president will, of course, most likely, of course, for sure, appoint a Supreme Court justice, and how we could very easily lose our Second Amendment rights. He also points out the fact that Mrs. Clinton calls people like most of us listening here deplorable, bigoted, irredeemable. How she has threatened that deeply held religious beliefs must be altered on abortion, on same-sex marriage. And so we are at a crucial time in our history. And our Congress is, I believe, if I had to describe it, kind of flailing a bit. Yesterday, in the last few days, they have been trying to pass legislation left and right without any discussion, under suspension, and I think they're doing some bad things. And that's why I'm grateful that our next guest is in Congress, because we elected him believing that he would stand strong, and he has. Dave Bratt, 7th District of Virginia, joins us this morning. Good morning, Congressman Bratt.
Hey, morning, Sandy. Good coverage as usual. You got it. You're hitting it on the head.
It's so discouraging. Before you join me, I was talking about the passage of that counterterrorism bill proposed by Congressman Mike McCaul, which I know that you opposed. I'd love your insight on that bill, Congressman.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of part of the budget process that we have in general up here. No one is reviewing these bills carefully, and they spring up on us at the last minute. And so this thing funds possibly, right? And that's the problem. It shouldn't be possible coming out of a Republican Congress, but there's money in that Homeland Security that can go toward Muslim Brotherhood affiliated organizations. And so that is President Obama, Hillary Clinton philosophy that, hey, not only shouldn't you mention who we're at war with, but you should prop up and fund these organizations so we build a friendship with them, right? We ought to build a friendship with the people who are trying to kill us and whose ideology is just 100% against our First Amendment and against religious toleration, and against what made this country great. And so too many of my colleagues just kind of say, well, there's nothing there, right? It's not explicit. And so, but the same thing goes on, right? These groups are being funded, will be funded, and you see what's going around the country right now, right? We have rising racial tensions. Islam is using that. Radical Islam is using that in order to take advantage of our virtues here. And so it really is unbelievable. And then we got a budget coming up. We lost the regular order like we did 2 years ago. And then last year, we've lost it for the last 6 years. We passed one appropriations bill out of 72. And so the Freedom Caucus, I'm on that, we fought like crazy. That was the one thing we fought for, was regular order, where the budget can't be hijacked in the last week. And unfortunately, our leadership, again, let that happen. And so now Harry Reid is dictating the terms of the debate. And your listeners, you follow it, right? The Export-Import Bank, yeah. Zika, Flint, yeah. Michigan, yeah. Louisiana flooding, Puerto Rico, Planned Parenthood, yeah. ICANN, criminal yeah. justice reform. Mm. We're debating all that stuff instead of the issues that conservatives want in that budget. Immigration, proper vetting for refugees, fiscal responsibility, stopping illegal amnesty, all this kind of thing. It's just really unbelievable. The people gave us the House and the Senate. And it looks like we're doing a Democrat budget.
There's probably I'm guessing the number here, like 30 of you, Freedom Caucus and maybe a few miscellaneous other persons, who are standing strong, Congressman. I don't understand how that happens. And I want to make one statement. We don't have to spend all of our time talking about this proposal by Mike McCaul, which passed, which I'm just nauseated about. To be honest with you, this will... some of my friends are calling it the Muslim Brotherhood Support Bill. And let me just say that the real dangers of that bill, which just passed yesterday, resoundingly, is that we see firsthand over the weekend, we're seeing in living color the failure of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and police forces in stopping, identifying. These people have a record. We know they have connections.
Right.
And yet the FBI is
right.
constrained from doing that because they're taking their advice from Council on American Islamic Relations and Muslim Brotherhood front groups, which we have just turned around and now are going to send more money to help train our FBI and our law enforcement officers to actually not investigate the most dangerous types of people. It makes me heartsick.
And you got it right. And so, and you say you don't understand it, and no one understands it. And it is unbelievable because in the same year you got Trump and Cruz and the outsiders, right? Rand Paul and my friends over there in the Senate running for president. And then on the Dem side, you got Bernie, a huge outsider energy on the Dem side. And in the very same year, we send back all incumbents. And so it does go back. It's just like a business, and it's demand-driven. And the people are sending back all the incumbents that voted for the crap sandwich budget 2 years ago, the crime the bus, all this terrible policy. And so that is the shocker, how we're going outsider at the presidential and then voting back the people who are doing this. And it is political, right? After Romney lost, we had the autopsy report that said we have to be scared of every group in the country, right? We have to be scared of our African-American friends, our Hispanic brothers and sisters. We got to be scared of women. We got to be scared of the Islamic world, et cetera. And so this bill you're talking about, the McCaul bill, is part of that psychology. It says in order to win these votes in these demographic silos across the country, we got to be scared of everyone. We can't upset the apple cart in any way, even if national security is at stake. And, at the end of the day, we can fool the voters with just millions and millions of dollars in the war chest. And so, please keep sending in your money so we can fake out the American people. And so I hope the people out there listening will really do some homework and tell their neighbors that no matter what state you're in, find out the people. I got 100% conservative review score. I got 100% small business score. I got 100% freedom work score. Make sure your folks are voting the right way on these significant bills and then fund them, right? Send your contributions to them because, believe me, the 40 of us, we need it. We do not get the normal financial support. And sad to say, but that's the way politics works up here, right? The fancy ads do work at the end of the day.
I want to interject that Congressman Mike McCaul, by contrast, has an F according to the Conservative Review. He ranks at 58% for his votes. And as I said before you joined me, Congressman, I have a photo of him with the leaders of CARE, I believe in Dallas. He is very connected to them in whatever way. He's one of the dangerous persons serving us right now. I don't know how much he knows. Let's just say it's certainly willful blindness. I know personally that he has been briefed on all of this. He is not dumb, he is not stupid, and he is not unaware. And so I'm sorry, I'm angry this morning, and that's why... All right. I want to talk about an event. Your reelection is coming up, and you're having a big event this Saturday in Richmond, Virginia, along with Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. And let me just give the details. It's 3:30. It's Rally the Vote with Blackburn and Brad. It's going to be at the DoubleTree Hilton Hotel at 3:30 in Richmond. And everyone listening is invited to come. What's the point? What will they do when they get there?
Yep. Well, I got 10 counties, and so this is going to be in Chesterfield on Midlothian at the old Kogler Center. And we want to rally the vote for the entire 7th District, right? So we want, 1,000 people coming out. And we want to spread the word and tell everybody they got to email their list, they got to do the legwork, they got to knock doors, because Virginia is in play for real, right? All these polls are closing for Trump at the national level. And so in the 7th District, I should hopefully be fine, right? I've been doing my work and getting around the district. But Fairfax County has 1 million people in Northern Virginia, and they're going to show up and vote for the same old Democrat policy. And so we have to offset those numbers. And so we have to do just a tremendous job. And so Marsha Blackburn is just a superhero, right? She was being vetted for vice president by the Trump campaign. She's one of the prominent national leaders, solid, rock-solid conservative across the board, and just well-liked by everyone in the conservative camp. And so she's going to be the spark plug. And so we're just going to have a great event and try to educate folks about this get-out-the-vote piece that the Democrats are much better at executing on this kind of thing. They get people together. They get the young groups and all those silos we were talking about, which break up the country in by skin color and gender and all this kind of thing. And we're saying enough of it, right? So let's have it. Let's get everybody together, rally the troops, and we're going to give a little strategy on how to get the vote out. And, if people want to help, fund my campaign, or that comes as an offset. But this event is totally free, and we're doing it just to get out the vote to help the up ticket and Trump cross that finish line winner in November.
Okay, it's Rally the Vote with Blackburn and Brett, and it's this Saturday at 3:30 in Richmond, Virginia at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel. I don't, on a personal level, I'm just telling everyone listening, I'm actually going out. I'm going to be in Fairfax County, Virginia, Saturday, knocking on doors. I'm going to do that. I'm going to see if I can get it personally, if I can get as many people as possible to come out and vote on Election Day. We only have a couple of minutes left here, but I'm curious about something. You know, I have to say, Congressman, I've been hearing inside information on the people that Donald Trump is selecting to head some of its public, some of it isn't, like Marjorie Denenfelter, who's such a strong pro-lifer, is now heading his pro-life work. He is appointing people who are more conservative than any Republican president, probably even more than Reagan across the board. That's not quantifiable, I don't know for sure, but it's really pretty amazing. All right, so let's say Donald Trump gets elected. You've got all of these people we have just described in the House and also in the Senate. Are they going to fight him, or will they be persuaded to move to the right?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of funny. There are going to be a lot of pushback against Trump on that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't want to be the person going up against Trump, right? So good luck to them. When he sets his eye on you, or when he sets his eye on any target, you see what happens. He's pretty good at closing the deal in the end. And so that's why I feel pretty confident. And as you're knocking doors up in Fairfax, I'll just tell you one thing that most people don't know. But go look up the NFIB business scores, small business scores, right? I got 100%. Senator Warner has a 34 a year ago or so. Tim Kaine has a 17. And so that's the common glue, right? When you're talking to the average guy and woman out there working hard for their kids, they're in small business. And our party is just much better. And it just amazes me that there's anybody in small business that votes Democrat when they're crushing businesses with Obamacare and every regulation under the sun and EPA and Waters of the U.S. and franchisee rule and fiduciary rule. And so the best hope is to get Trump in here and get that executive branch overreach out of the way so this economy gets growing again. I think that's the number one selling point to get folks in Northern Virginia going our way.
Well, I'll let you know. I'll report back. And meanwhile, all of you listening are invited. Get in your cars and your mobile homes, wherever you are. Come to Richmond, Virginia, and you'll get to meet Congressman Bratt and Congresswoman Blackburn at 3:30 at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel in Richmond. It'll be a great event. And for the rest of you who can't actually get in the car and come that far, think about getting out there, knocking on doors yourself. Actually, it's really fun to be an activist. It's very rewarding.
And
you can do something. You can actually do something. Congressman Bratt, your champion.
And you learn from the people. When you knock doors, you learn what the people actually want. And it strengthens our side, because you hear how strong we really are. We get the word out.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, thanks, Congressman. It's great to talk to you as always, and we'll see you very soon.
Bet.
All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
God created us to reflect His glory.
Created to Reflect is more than a conference. It'll have breakout classes filled with discussion that help you build a biblical worldview. It's designed for the next generation of believers.
The Created to Reflect Conference, coming March 2017. Join apologist Alex McFarland and Sean McDowell at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Learn more at engagemagazine.net.
God has appointed Christians as difference makers in our world. And by voting this election cycle, we can effect positive change for our nation. In 2012, 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote, and we've seen the results. On Election Day, we can make a difference. Voter registration deadline in most states is October 8th. Election Day is November 8th. Be sure you're registered and then vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The disease known in official circles as willful blindness about the nature of the threat we are facing from Islamic supremacists is reaching epidemic proportions. In the wake of last weekend's attacks, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, President Obama, and others have gone to considerable lengths to downplay the jihadist nature of the perpetrators and the ideology animating their violence. The Wall Street Journal yesterday reported on the difficulty experts are having figuring out the Islamists' motivation, and the U.S. Senate may shortly institutionalize such muddle-headedness by creating an Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security to pay so-called Muslim community partners to help counter violent extremism. Fortunately, Representative Scott Perry will hold a hearing in the House of Representatives today aimed at assessing the utter failure of this approach and how the willful blindness it epitomizes is putting Americans at needless and growing risk. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, I've mentioned it once, if not 10 times, in the show this morning because I believe it's so important, and that is the introduction of what we are calling the Muslim Brotherhood Support Bill by Congressman Michael McCaul, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, in the House. He took out the words countering violent extremism craftily. The thing passed handily, and now it means that community partners will get tons of this money, a whole new agency within Homeland Security, which is already a disaster in terms of how they're training people. We can see this. We can see what's happening with the FBI. And by the way, I believe FBI Director Comey is going to be called up to the Judiciary Committee in the Senate next week about the FBI's terrible handling of these attacks on our homeland. And why? What's wrong with their training, one might ask? Well, we know the answer to that. There are heroes in the House. And when Congressman Mike McCaul introduced his legislation night before last, Louie Gohmert, congressman from Texas, who is a colleague of McCaul's, stood on the floor, and I want you to hear everything that he said. Let's listen.
All three of us who have spoken on this bill tonight share is a desire to protect our homeland. I know that absolutely, completely to each of our cores. We want our homeland protected. Issue comes in how do we go about doing that and what lessons have been learned from prior mistakes and prior deaths and injuries. We continue to hear in the media about lone wolves. As Patrick Poole once said, they're not lone wolves. We keep finding that they're known wolves. It seems that over and over, people who are killing in the name of Allah, killing in the name of the Islamic State and its leader, killing in the name of radical Islamic jihad, they have been questioned. They have surfaced as a threat. And yet when they're investigated, they don't seem to be able to capture the fact that this is someone who has been radicalized, is going to go about killing people, killing Americans. And if we look at Orlando and now New York City, we are training law enforcement officers to spot non-existent Islamophobes. That is an expression, a word that was coined by the Organization of Islamic Council that has 57 members or states, or 50 states, I forget. The United States or OIC, one of us has 57 states, the other has 50. But anyway, they're the ones that coined the phrase Islamophobe, Islamophobia, and that is what is being taught. And as we have looked at how Homeland Security money has been spent in trying to prepare against radical Islamists, although they call it countering violent extremism, they don't want to say the words radical Islam. My dear friend from Texas has repeatedly said the phrase radical Islam because he understands that's what it is. Unfortunately, the Homeland Security Department still can't quite grasp what radical Islam is. And for those who wonder, is it even possible that money that we would appropriate under this bill, which makes clear page 4 of the bill, that when applying for the money, at a minimum, the application has to say how the applicant will work with community partners. Community partners. That's an interesting phrase itself. Where have we found that before? We have found that with Homeland Security. We have found that with the FBI. And we have heard testimony in our Judiciary Committee from FBI Director Mueller on the community partnership that they have had with mosques and with different groups that care. Well, in fact, care itself. And other Islamic groups that have even been implicated or actually named as unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial in which the principals were convicted of supporting terrorism. And there were numerous unindicted co-conspirators. The only ones that objected to their listing as unindicted co-conspirators brought their motion to be struck from the pleading before the federal district judge in the case. He examined the evidence and indicated there was plenty of evidence to support them being named as co-conspirators. They weren't satisfied with that. They appealed it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
He's making the point, Congressman Louie Gohmert, that the CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator. It is a Muslim Brotherhood operative. And this is where a lot of the money's going to go. And Mike McCall is connected to them. And by the way, Louie Gohmert is not dumb. He knows there are 50 states in the United States. That was a dig at Barack Obama, who, when he was running for president, said America had 57 states. Just so happens that the Organization of Islamic States has 57 states. Oops, that's what he was talking about. Let's listen to the rest.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals examined the evidence that was available and said, just on the evidence available, it's very clear that these groups that are objecting to being listed as co-conspirators, there's plenty of evidence to show that they are co-conspirators. The name shall not be struck. And yet, the FBI, the State Department, the Homeland Security Department, the CIA, our intelligence agencies, continue to follow the instructions of the White House, and that is to be community partners with these groups that have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. As I have traveled in the Middle East and North Africa, repeatedly I've been asked by leaders, once the cameras are out of the room, why do you not understand? The Muslim Brotherhood has been at war with you for decades. You keep helping the Muslim Brotherhood. You keep getting advice from the Muslim Brotherhood. When are you going to learn? In Egypt, where the Muslim Brotherhood was born, Egypt has understood what a threat the Muslim Brotherhood is to Western civilization. They don't want to recognize our Constitution. They want it supplanted and replaced with Sharia law. We can live in peace with the vast number of Muslims in the world, but we need to be sure we recognize radical Islamic jihadists. So how do we go about training? Homeland Security Committee is making a wonderful gesture. Here's money for law enforcement officers to be trained. And what happens? Well, they're told they've got to have these work, reach out with community partners. And I know from personally questioning the former FBI Director Mueller, I was chastising him for the fact that the United States was notified twice that the older Sarnia brother, the Boston bomber, had been radicalized and was going to kill people in the United States. And they didn't do an adequate investigation. The best that I can determine from the information the FBI provided, they sent an agent to talk to Tsarnaev himself, and apparently he indicated, gee, I'm not a terrorist. Well, to be sure they did an adequate investigation, they went and talked to his mother. And his mother said, in essence, he's not a terrorist, he's a good boy. And the FBI checked the box. He's not a terrorist. He was a terrorist. But we also know from our hearings, from material that a few of us, only a few of us in this Congress, have examined that was purged from the FBI training material, we know they have purged information from the training that our FBI, that our intelligence, that our Homeland Security, that our Justice Department can have and to learn about what radical Islam is. We know that Osama bin Laden, for example, said that he was radicalized. It began with his reading the Muslim Brotherhood named Qutb, Q-U-T-B for our reporters. He wrote a booklet called Milestones, and reading of that booklet helped radicalize Osama bin Laden.
All right, that's Louie Gohmert on the floor of the House. The bill he's opposing so passionately actually passed. That's why I'm playing this full statement. Those men sat there and listened to him speak and explain, and still they voted for McCall's bill. Let's listen to his conclusion.
I would bet that of the FBI agents that have been trained under this administration, most of them have never heard of Qutb. So nobody would have known to ask Tsarnaev, have you read Milestones? What do you think of Milestones? And when I challenged Mueller that they had not even gone to the mosque to ask questions, how is Tsarnaev acting? Is he becoming more stern, more religious? Has he talked about Qutb? Has he talked about Milestones? What is he reading? And I chastised him for not going to the mosque. And the best our FBI director could say was, we did go to that mosque in our outreach program. Oh, yes, they took money that was appropriated to train and prevent terrorism. And they go out and have sit-down programs, probably have some meals. I don't know what all they do in their outreach program, but they're not learning to spot radical Islamists. And as a result, Homeland Security's, the committee at least, the Homeland Security Committee has their heart in the right place. They're wanting to do the right thing. They're hearing from our Department of Homeland Security. Block grants to these law enforcement will allow them to train to prevent, and the language is, they may use the grant to conduct training and exercises consistent with preventing. That's where our training so far is going to help people, whether New York, Orlando, San Bernardino, homophobes. That's why when a complaint is made in San Bernardino about the person that would go on to kill so many lives there, take so many lives there, yeah, they investigated, but they thought it was just an Islamophobe because that's what they've been trained to look for. When the FBI got a heads up on the Orlando shooter, they investigated and they figure, oh, this probably just, you know, Muslim haters. That's what they are spending their money to train for. And in New York, they actually investigated New Jersey, Mr. Rahimi, after his own father reported him as a terrorist after he stabbed his own brother. And what does the FBI do? They didn't go to his social media. They would have learned he's been radicalized. They didn't bother to look at his travel records, as best we can tell, to see where he traveled and who he saw, or where he went, where he might have been radicalized. Oh, no, no. They just eventually got from the father a recanting, so they let it go. And as a result, countless people were nearly killed. Why? Not because law enforcement in New Jersey or New York don't want to do their jobs and do the best job they can and save lives. These are good law enforcement officers, just as they are in San Bernardino and Orlando. They want to do their job, but they haven't had the right training. And I would direct my friends to August 10th through 12th of 2011. Steve Coughlin, who used to brief the Joint Chiefs of Staff on radical Islam, along with some others who have spent their adult lives studying radical Islam, were going to do a seminar for law enforcement training in the prevention of terrorist attacks or extremist attacks. 2 days before the law enforcement around the country was going to go to Langley, to our intelligence agency, and be trained on how to spot radical Islam, how to prevent these, someone with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, from what story we got, called someone at the White House, and someone at the White House called Langley, cancel that training. And they changed the guidelines so that only people who were going to train about Islamophobia and minimize the training about
They were almost done, but we're going to put the full thing. You do just last 30 seconds. Congressman Gohmert explaining it, laying it out there. Congressman McCall's legislation is a travesty, and the House voted on it. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.